Welcome to our show, everybody. I'm Rick Pettigrew. Our stories from this past week of Archaeologica report that a cave site in the Levant reveals close similarities between Neanderthals and modern humans. A 100,000-year-old modern human buried in Israel had a deep cut inflicted on his face. Archaeologists have located a lost Pima village in northern Mexico. And a computational study says that most medieval stories of chivalry are forever lost. We'll get to those in a few seconds. Thanks to everyone for supporting our subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, available at heritagetac.org. We have hundreds of titles you can binge upon, including our recent video series about searching for the lost aircraft of Amelia Earhart. Please help us spread the word. Again, that link is heritagetac.org. Our tour program, TAC Tours, will continue in January 2027 with our tour of Maya cities in the Yucatan. Registration is still open for that. The link to our tour program is at archaeologychannel.org/tours. Send us feedback on the Archaeology Channel Facebook page or post a message on our social networking site, ArchaeoSeek. And now, here's Laura Kennedy with the audio news from Archaeologica. We hope you find this to be a valuable part of your day.
Welcome to the audio news from Archaeologica. I'm Laura Kennedy, and these are the headlines in archaeological and historical news for the week of July 5th through the 11th, 2026. Our first story this week comes from the Mediterranean coast of Turkey. A cave site is offering clear evidence that Neanderthals and early modern humans shared more cultural practices than previously assumed. As reported by SciNews, Kyoto University archaeologist Naoki Morimoto led an excavation at Ucha Uzla II cave. The cave sits at the northern edge of the Levant, just north of Syria. As the team noted in the proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences, the Levant served as a corridor for Homo sapiens to disperse between Africa and Eurasia during the Middle to Late Pleistocene. Working at this site, the team unearthed a well-preserved sample of teeth, stone tools, animal bones, and seashells, dating across 20,000 years of life at the cave. Dental analysis allowed the researchers to identify which groups had left the remains behind. The deeper, older layers, dating from about 77,000 to 59,000 years ago, contain teeth belonging to Neanderthals. The uppermost layer, deposited between 59,000 and 47,000 years ago, held teeth from early modern humans. The similarities across the two periods were of note to the team. Both groups produced nearly identical stone tools rooted in the Middle Paleolithic Mousterian tradition. Both hunted the same range of animals, including wild goats, fallow deer, roe deer, and wild boar. And both collected the same small marine snail, Columbella rustica, not as a food source, but likely as a decorative or symbolic object. Many of those shells had been deliberately pierced, and some had been exposed to heat in ways that changed their color. This suggests that both species assigned them the same kind of meaning. The researchers noted that their results stand apart from patterns at other sites, such as Mandarin Cave in France. At that site, the two groups left distinctly different cultural footprints in alternating layers. At Ucha Uzla II, cultural life appears to have carried on virtually unchanged across the millennia. This site offers evidence that these two closely related groups were not simply adapting to the same landscape in a similar fashion. They may have been exchanging ideas, objects, and symbolic practices directly with one another. Next, we revisit one of the world's oldest known intentional burials. Archaeologists have noted what may be the oldest documented case of injury from a sharp weapon. As reported by Smithsonian Magazine, French archaeologist René Neuville first excavated this site in 1933. Located in northern Israel, Kwafzeh Cave was the final resting place for at least 27 early modern humans who lived between 92,000 and 145,000 years ago. Now, an international team of archaeologists is taking a closer look at a partial skeleton known as Kwafzeh 25. As they described in scientific reports, this individual was likely a young adult male and was buried near several children. His remains were recovered in 1979 and are now held at Tel Aviv University. A number of fractures appeared on his bones, likely from the post-mortem damage caused by sediment pressure across tens of thousands of years. One mark stood out to the team, however. On the left side of his jaw, a deep, straight cut ran through his face and affected one of his teeth. This wound showed signs of healing and had not become infected. This provides an indication that he not only lived for a long period after the injury, but was also likely taken care of by the members of his community. Given that the injury was to the left side of his face, the researchers noted that deliberate interpersonal violence was likely the cause. Since most people are right-handed, most facial injuries in face-to-face conflicts occur on the left side. Intentional or accidental, this is one of a few documented injuries from the Middle Paleolithic caused by sharp objects. It may be the oldest incident of its kind in the archaeological record. According to study lead author, Ana Pantoja Perez, a paleoanthropologist for Spain's National Research Center on Human Evolution, these findings contribute to our understanding of interpersonal violence, community care, and funerary practices throughout the social and cultural evolution of our species. We now visit northern Mexico. Archaeologists have unearthed the long-hidden remains of an indigenous settlement that stood alongside one of the region's earliest colonial missions. As reported by Heritage Daily, the site lies just 100 meters from the mission of Our Lady of Pilar and Santiago de Cocospora. The missionary Eusebio Francisco Kino established this Jesuit outpost in AD 1687. Mexico's National Institute of Anthropology and History archaeologist Tomás Pérez Reyes led the excavation team. The team worked in the region as part of a railway salvage project. Despite decades of people searching for these Pima Himeri remnants, the team of Pérez Reyes was the first to pinpoint where their village once stood. Centuries of mesquite growth had shrouded the site from view. Construction during the mid-20th century concealed it further. Excavations across approximately 800 square meters exposed both household structures and shared communal spaces. The architectural style blended two traditions. While workers built the houses from adobe using Spanish construction methods, internal layouts followed Pima conventions. Hearths sat at the center of living areas. Evidence of more temporary structures also appeared nearby. Around 20 outdoor cooking ovens contained the remains of a wide range of animals. These included cattle, pigs, sheep, deer, dogs, chickens, turkeys, donkeys, and horses. Plant remains included maize, amaranth, cactus, and edible wild greens. According to Mexico's National Institute archaeologist Jupiter Martinez Ramirez, horses were not part of Spanish cuisine. These finds indicate that the Pima maintained aspects of their own dietary traditions while under missionary supervision. Notably, the team also located a large assemblage of stone arrowheads distributed across the site. This points to continuity in the Pima's use of traditional weapon technology. Shell ornaments from the Gulf of California also came to light alongside Christian crosses and religious medals. These objects provide a material record of a time when the two traditions existed side by side. Finally, we turn to the world of ancient manuscripts. A new computational study argues that the majority of literature from the Middle Ages has been lost. As reported by Science News Today, National School of Charters professor Jean-Baptiste Comps led the research team in Paris. As the team outlined in PNAS Nexus, they applied and adapted methods from complexity science to investigate how handwritten texts survived across centuries of copying and historical disruption. According to their calculations, as many as 60% of original chivalric narratives disappeared entirely. Upward of 95% of the physical manuscripts that once carried those stories are likely gone. Before the printing press, scribes produced every copy of a text by hand. Each time a scribe reproduced a manuscript, they introduced small errors, deliberate revisions to suit the new audience, or other changes. Repeated across generations, this process left traces that scholars used to reconstruct family trees of related texts. Scholars call this method stemmatics. The limitation of this approach, however, is that it accounts only for manuscripts that still exist. Works that vanished without leaving any surviving copies remain entirely invisible. To work around that problem, the researchers turned to agent-based simulations. This computational method models how individuals created, copied, and lost manuscripts over time. Using the 12th century as the starting point for their modeling, their resulting estimates point to an enormous gap between the literature that once circulated and what has come down to us today. The model also revealed that a text's fate depended largely on its earliest years. Works that scribes copied only a handful of times soon after their creation faced a far greater risk of complete disappearance. Without enough copies in circulation, a single accident could wipe out a story before it had a chance to spread. Notably, the team found that surviving manuscripts almost certainly do not preserve the original wording of most texts. They use the Song of Roland as an example. Every existing copy of that famous poem likely descends from an already altered version of the original work. Survival often had little to do with a work's quality or popularity. Major historical disruptions, including the Black Death, accelerated the disappearance of entire literary traditions. These events irreversibly limited our understanding of their time. That wraps up the news for this week. For more stories and daily news updates, visit Archaeologica on the World Wide Web at archaeologica.org, where all the news is history. Also, be sure to check out our growing subscription platform, Heritage Broadcasting Service, at heritagetac.org. I'm Laura Kennedy, and I'll see you next week.
This has been the audio news from Archaeologica, presented by the Archaeology Channel. Be sure to check back with us next week for our next edition. You can spread the word about the audio news by clicking on the Share This link on our audio news webpage, or just by telling your friends. Thanks very much for stopping by.